Hey there! Are you a crime scene investigator, law enforcement officer, or forensic scientist looking for a Facebook community that understands you? Check out Taction USA's Forensic Product Groups. You'll find blogs, articles, information, and community. For those of us in the investigative field, there are not many lines of support out there, but Taction USA is a company that was founded by law enforcement for law enforcement. Subscribe today to get access to exclusive content. Just look for Taction USA in Facebook groups. Welcome to Crossing the Tape, your favorite true crime podcast. As always, I am Hillary, and I'm joined by my lovely spouse.
It's me, Brendan.
And just for those of you who may be new, we haven't really done a recap in a while of who we are and our background. So just so you know, we are a married couple that met while investigating a homicide scene. And at the time, I was a crime scene investigator. And Brendan is an active duty cop somewhere. You don't need to know where, but he is.
I'm out there.
So our background is police and investigation. And that's kind of what brought us together and what motivated us to put together this podcast. So for those of you who listen all the time, you know that. But for any new listeners, we haven't really had an introduction in a while.
And also for new listeners, where have you been? Well, you're here now, and that's what matters.
Right. So this episode is about John McVicker, and I like to call him the disappearing prisoner.
Oh, I wonder why.
We'll find out. Please sign the crime scene log and join us.
John McVicker was born in 1940 in London. That's in England. Mm-hmm. His parents, George and Diane, were shopkeepers. Now, from an early age, John was into some trouble. His career as a criminal began during his teenage years, and he began by breaking into shops and stores, and that escalated to stealing cars.
Yeah.
So, kind of a small-time thief. Mm-hmm. At least to begin with. Now, those acts also created a bit of a strain between McVicker and his father. It's almost as if his dad didn't approve of such behavior. Well, with a name like McVicker, you would expect decency.
I know. A little ironic, isn't it?
At the age of 16 in 1956, John McVicker was in custody waiting for a trial to begin. He escaped from the home for juvenile offenders that he was living in, and once captured, he was then sentenced to 2 years of borstal training. Now, I have to admit, I had never heard of that.
I hadn't either, so I had to look it up and find out.
I was wondering, what is a borstal, and how do you train it?
I wasn't sure. I figured it was something to do with probation, but I wasn't familiar with the term.
So, borstal training was for offenders under the age of 21. All juveniles were sent there. It was kind of a structured home for
wayward,
you know, bad apples and miscreants.
Wayward children.
Yeah, there was a strict structure of, you know, discipline and work and education.
And I'm not certain, but I believe that was a European thing. I don't think it was, you know.
Not on this side of the world. There,
right.
When I was looking it up, it was also a system, I think, used in India and some other places. But
I figured it was used in other places, but not in the U.S.,
Yes. There was no corporal punishment, really, unless someone, like, assaulted a guard. But even then, like, in one 10-year period, that was used 8 times because it had to be signed off on by, you know, several judges and the secretary of the house and all that. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was just a couple of swats with a tree limb sort of thing.
Right.
It wasn't, like, horrendous, you know, beatings in the yard every day. But that system was eventually done away with in 1982, thanks to the Criminal Justice Act, and it was replaced with, similar to juvenile detention centers that we have in the U.S., just jail light for the bad kids. But McVicker was sentenced to borstal training for a bit. Now, when he was released, he continued his career in crime and even bumped that up a little bit to the next level, armed robbery. So that type of crime put him in a new serious category.
Right.
And in 1964, he was arrested for armed robbery and sent to prison for 8 years. So no more Borstal for him.
Right. Now he's in the real jail.
Yeah. The big house.
The big house.
Or the big castle. It is England.
I don't know.
I don't know what they call it there. He might have missed his calling as one of those escape act magicians.
Yeah. I kept thinking he should have been, you know, another Houdini.
Yeah, slipping out of straitjackets because he was pretty good.
Yeah, very effective at disappearing.
What do they say? He's a bit of a wet noodle.
Yeah.
He was serving his 8-year sentence and, you know, had become an expert absconder already.
Right.
He was held in Her Majesty's prison, Parkhurst. This particular facility was known to have high security and was actually on an island. So even if you get out of the walls,
you think you'd be like Alcatraz.
Yeah, you're not loose in society yet. Right. You have a long way to go.
You have a little ways to go there.
Yet somehow McVicar escaped after his trial. And at the time of his escape, there were 12 other prisoners who also made the move with him.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them even taking out some of the prison guards.
Right.
Now, most of the inmates were rearrested in due time, except McVicar.
Of course.
And since he was at large, he knew he'd be found soon and, you know, the hunt was on, so he had to hide out. And to do so, he contacted a fellow named Joey Pyle. Now, Joey, or Joe Pyle, was an English gangland boss, convicted criminal, and pioneer and promoter of unlicensed boxing, who operated in London from 1950 until his final arrest and conviction in 1992. The New York mob knew him as London's Don of Dons. So he even had the respect of...
Wow, that's quite something.
Yeah, they knew if anybody was going to make a move in London, you better talk to Joe Pyle first.
To the London Don.
Yeah. And I don't believe he's even Italian. They just knew that's his territory.
With the name Pyle, I don't think so.
Yeah, you leave him be. They respected him and his gangland tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, apparently he was a bit of a boxer, too, so...
Yeah.
He might rough you up himself. Basically, if you needed something underhanded or seedy done in London, you reached out to Joe Pyle. And Pyle met McVicar at Portsmouth and began driving. Hopped in the car. He was most likely going to smuggle him away to a safe house until the heat died down.
Yeah.
Taking him somewhere, but Pyle and McVicar ended up at a police roadblock in Dorking. I believe I pronounced that right.
Mm-hmm.
What fun names they have over there.
I know.
Pyle eluded the roadblock, but law enforcement caught up with them in a residential area later. McVicar, once again, escaped from the vehicle and wasn't caught by police.
You know, I kind of, when I was researching all that, it just kind of made me giggle because I was thinking, all right, he contacted this, you know, essentially mob boss.
The underground boss.
Yeah. And he, you know, they're in a car, they're escaping, and then they hit a literal roadblock.
Yeah, they just run
with police everywhere, and instead of like helping Pyle, and he leaves.
Yeah, he just told him to make a U-turn and then jumped out and split. Left Pyle high and dry.
Gave me a pretty good mind picture.
Well, and Pyle seems like the kind of guy that, you know, he'll do something if you ask him, but you're going to owe him a favor.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too. Like, why would you leave that guy?
Like, you probably ditched the wrong dude.
Right. I thought that, too.
I don't know if he was made to pay for that later, but...
Yeah, I never found anything, but it made me wonder, because I thought, of all people, really?
You're going to run out on the Don. However, since McVicar was still on the run and didn't have his underground connection anymore,
right,
he needed some money. So, what he does best, robbery. Mm-hmm. He tried to rob an armored car, but was arrested and sentenced to 15 years along with his original sentence of 8 years. So, if he'd just stayed in prison the 8 years, he would have been done a lot sooner.
Right.
But
he decided to play around. I mean, he probably would have been back in anyway.
Well, yeah,
but still.
He seemed like the guy.
He's a perpetual offender.
Yeah, at least at that point in his life.
Right. Yes. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to... a little bit of his change in ways soon, after a word from our friends at the National Investigative Training Academy.
If you are looking for a career change or to expand your knowledge in an already established one, look no further than the National Investigative Training Academy. The National Investigative Training Academy, or NITA, N-I-T-A, has well over 100 courses with 70 professional development ones alone. NITA is constantly adding to their course catalog, and courses are focused on private investigation and security fields. Whether you would like to become a private investigator or you need continuing education for your investigative or security career, the National Investigative Training Academy is for you. All courses offered are 100% online and do at your own pace. Once completed, you will receive a certificate in that course. Sign up today at investigativeacademy.com. Make sure when you sign up for your courses, you mention we sent you there. We encourage you to get the best investigative and security training possible today. When you sign up, mention our brand ambassador code, BA2367. That's BA2367. And you can find those courses at investigativeacademy.com. Look for links in our show notes as well. Before we go on, we want to give a little quick shout out and thank you to a few people that have actually used the brand ambassador code for the National Investigative Training Academy. We've received word that some people have signed up for courses, and we just wanted to give a shout out and a thank you.
Yes, it means a lot to us, and we're glad that you're able to use our code to get a little training and hopefully advance your career.
Yes, so thank you again.
And back to the story. Now, while in custody this time around, John McVicker was sent to another maximum security facility, and lo and behold, he escaped that one too.
Gee. Yeah. What a shaka.
He didn't learn his lesson in Borstal training.
That boy.
After this escape, he remained out on the run for 2 years. So, just out... Well, I was going to say out on his own, but...
He wasn't.
He wasn't.
He had a whole life.
Yeah, he just kind of got back to living his life as if he wasn't a wanted man.
Mm-hmm.
But after 2 years, I guess he'd figure out they would have got me by now if they were coming. But he lived in Blackheath, which is part of South London, with his girlfriend and their son. He proposed to the girlfriend, but in the end, it seems she grew a bit tired of his antics and she left him. So, she was no fool. She saw...
No, she saw through him.
Yeah, this guy's in trouble.
Yeah, what I kind of read was... I'm not certain, but it seems like it was kind of a hookup and they had a son and then they were together for a while and I was like, I don't think so.
Made it work until she went, someday they're going to come dragging you out of the apartment.
Right.
Now, at that point, he had been declared public enemy number one by Scotland Yard and, you know, the hunt was still on for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was eventually caught, sentenced to the entire 23 years he had been on the run from.
Yes.
But he was paroled in 1978, so... He did manage to shave some time off in the end.
Yeah.
They probably wanted to parole him before he escaped again.
Cause I know.
I'm going to go look for this guy.
Oh, crap. We gotta look for this guy
just
again.
Just get him out.
He's not really a danger. He's just kind of a bad apple.
They probably
Let's
had to have him on round-the-clock watch. And,
yeah,
you know,
probably.
Make sure he didn't sneak a spoon back to try to carve through the wall. They were most likely glad to have that particular prisoner gone.
Right.
Now, once he was released, he wrote a book about his life called McVicker by Himself. The book was also used as the script for the 1980 movie made about his life, and interestingly enough, Roger Daltrey of The Who played him.
That movie wasn't bad. And the music is very good, actually.
I mean, hey, it's The Who.
It's The Who. It's gotta be good.
Now, also around that time, McVicker became interested in journalism, so he's turned over a new leaf. He's gone legitimate.
Yes.
Now that he's
spent
years in prison, I guess he's over his crime spree. He was published in several magazines and was often asked to discuss crime and punishment types of events, which who better to talk to?
Right. It reminds me of, you know, them people asking Ted Bundy about his, what he thought of certain serial killers or, you know, or serial offenders. Well, what is their next move going to be?
Mm-hmm.
You know, who better to ask?
Right. And who better to ask, hey, what's it like in prison?
Right.
Than the guy who hated it so much he left several times. In 2002, John McVicker married a countess, which, well, how about that? The two ran a publishing company together, so now he's a legitimate businessman
mm-hmm.
with a high society wife.
Right.
Now, while they did own a business and work together, their relationship was strained because they were always apart.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she was off counting and he was journalisming.
Yeah.
Also in that year.
I suppose.
Somebody's got to do the counting. Also in that year, McVicker published a book about Jill Dando, who was a broadcaster who was murdered, and sneak preview. We'll discuss that in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, at the time of his death, he lived in a caravan.
Which is basically an RV.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for those of us not across the pond. And he died of a heart attack while walking his dog.
Yeah, so he kind of ended his life on mundane terms.
Yeah, he just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's not a bad thing.
Yeah, I'd prefer just walking the dog rather than armed robbery.
Right. But it's interesting.
Yes, and we couldn't confirm the whereabouts of the dog.
Oh, yeah.
He's in our thoughts.
That was quite a while ago, though, so.
2002. Well. Yeah. He's in somebody's thoughts by now.
So that's the story of
multi-time escape artist
John McVicker,
mm-hmm. with the ironic name.
Yeah. No, but I really became interested in him just because I actually heard that movie soundtrack first, because
mm-hmm.
I love The Who, and then I watched the movie because why not?
Right.
And then I thought, I wonder what this guy's really all about.
Yeah. Yeah, how much is real? Mm-hmm. What's up with that guy? So, we thank you for joining us for the lovely story of a guy who just wouldn't stay put.
The disappearing prisoner.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening.
And come back again next time for the story of Jill Dando.
Mm-hmm. Stay safe.
So.